saying this is not a cost-free exercise for the Iranians to try and annihilate ships as they go through the straits. They're going to have to pay for this, and we can make them pay through frozen Iranian assets that have been frozen in banks for some time.
He was cut in half by an Iranian EFP. This regime that we are fighting does not care about our partisan politics. They don't care who you voted for, who you pray to, or where you live. They want to kill all of us. And they don't just say it, they actually do it. And they've been doing it for 47 years. We didn't start this war. We did not, but we will finish it.
21 more vessels will be commissioned before the end of the year, including the first nuclear submarine carrying the Zircon missile complex and Yasin-M class submarine, atomic cruiser Admiral Nakhimov and cruiser submarine Leopard will also complete their repairs.
Hello, dear friends. Today is the 27th, and we're going to talk about some of the news that's going on, give you a little view of the deep seas, maybe oceans. We'll start with the big war crime of the week by the West. It was the strike on Kirillovka. Kirillovka is a resort area on southeastern Zaporozhye Oblast on the Azov Sea. You know, the other day I was on the Azov Sea, I was on the southern side of the Azov Sea, southeastern side of it even, maybe 100 something kilometers away from this location that was hit by the American-owned terrorists. America is a terrorist sponsor, and its foot soldiers, its terrorist foot soldiers are the Hohols, the Ukrainians. They hit a resort full of families at night. And they do this at night. You see, this is the difference. Russia hits at night what? Russia hits military posts, and it hits factories at night when they're closed. See? Russia hits them when they're closed, because there's nobody there, or very minimal amount of people there. And factory workers working in a military factory kind of should know that they've got a target pane on their back, because they are producing weapons. Ukraine hits houses, residentials, when at night, when people are home and sleeping. Why? Because they're a murderous bunch of pusses that want to kill as many civilians as humanly possible. Yesterday, last night, that is, Belgrade was hit at night, 14 civilians injured because they were hitting the houses. A week before that, Krasnodar was hit, less than a week, about 4 or 5 days ago. Krasnodar was hit again. They aimed for single residency houses. They aimed for residential blocks. In this case, they hit a resort full of women, children, families. They killed 14 people. They injured as many. They just used heavy Western manufactured drones to murder civilians. If anybody's still surprised by this, that your taxpayers' money is going to kill civilians, there you go. And once more to Mr. Elon Musk, who's so afraid that white people are being replaced. Yeah, your technology helps kill white people, because all of that is run off of what? It's all run off of, that's right, Starlink is what's being used to mass murder civilians. I know you're all shocked that Musk is a profiteer off of war and death, while he's talking about, oh, how horrible this is, and this war can't be won, and the Ukrainians need to come to the battle, come to the negotiation team table and end all of this. And yet, you know what? He's making a ton of money. He's making billions off of this. Richest man in the world right there. That's Mr. Musk. Well, he's telling everybody these stories. So let's think about that. That's the reality we live in. So using Musk's technology and using American satellites, and under, I'm sure, instruction by Americans, and maybe even launched by Americans and Brits, Ukraine started attacking international shipping in the Azov Sea. Ships that, they had quite a few Russian ships, but they had quite a few other ships, including the people who are feeding them with weapons and things like that. For example, Turkish ships, and they hit Azari ships, killed crews are there. They've done a lot of damage in that. In fact, they were hitting the Caspian Pipeline Authority down in southeast Russia in Novorossiysk. A funny part about the Caspian Pipeline Authority, where the loading facilities come out in Novorossiysk, where the ships come into Novorossiysk to get filled with oil and to keep going, is that it's 50% owned by Chevron. Yeah, the American Chevron. So Chevron stockholders, you're getting screwed. And it's about 5% owned by Lukoil. It's about 45% owned by KazOil, Kazakhstan's national oil company. And Kazakhstanis are getting screwed. But that's what you get when you lay with mad dogs like Ukraine. Because Kazakhstan, by the way, helps Ukraine too. It just, it tries to play both sides. Well, your Ukrainian little pets there bit your balls off, because they started striking. They even struck the headquarters of the Caspian Pipeline Authority in Novorossiysk. They hit the loading facilities, and ships stopped coming. They hit a Greek ship. They've hit a Turkish oil hauler. They've hit various other ships coming in and out, going in to fill up. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And now, oh, the dear little Romanians who didn't revolt when their elections were stolen, but swallowed hard and said, yes, massa, in Brussels. Whatever you say, mom, we'll bend over some more for you, mom. We'll take it any which way you wave it to us, mom. Yeah, so the people in Romania, who took it hard, from Brussels, after they just basically had their elections canceled. Sorry, peasants. You voted the wrong way. We're removing the candidate you shouldn't have been voting for, and we're putting some new ones in there so you can vote for them again until you get the right candidate, one of ours. And since they're both ours, you're going to get one of ours. Either way. And the Romanians bent over. Bent right over. Well, now Romania has a fuel crisis. You see, 65% of the oil for the Romanian refinery, which, by the way, has already been hit once with by explosive sabotage by Ukraine, but Romania took that one also very well. But again, Romania is going to be dying off pretty soon in a war with Russia, because they're the next line of meat now that the Ukrainians are running out. So I guess they should be used to taking it really hard from the Europeans and the American owners. So, while we're at it, apparently 65% of the oil for that refinery comes from the Caspian Pipeline Authority. That's right, boys and girls. See how that all runs together? Ain't life a bitch? So, while your government and a good chunk of your population is supporting blowing up anything that's Russian, you get your oil through Russian ports. Isn't life gonna suck when you ain't got any diesel to run your friggin' society, when you ain't got the diesel to harvest your crops, when hunger strikes? Ain't life gonna be a bitch? Yes, it will. And you're not even gonna have the gasoline to drive out of Romania to go somewhere else. That's just how it runs, boys and girls. That's how life runs. When you're stupid, it hurts. And when you bend over for the EU, it hurts even more. So Russia, in response to America's initiative to force Russia to concessions and surrender and self-suicide, well, suicide is a self thing, that, you know, the big Trumpagator has decided on. Now that Zelensky's his personal little dwarf comedian, apparently, the Green Goblin is Trump's best friend, like we didn't understand that. Well, not best friend, he's his best little, staying on a rug that grew up at the that little mini Fuhrer. So anyways, Russia's responded and has basically shut down the entire Black Sea. Odessa is a burning wreck. Well, before there were targeted strikes on the Odessa port, more just for the military side. Now that we've gone into economic warfare, whoa, apparently Russia can outshoot the West again. Again, I know you're all shocked. Again, Russia can outshoot the West. And it has. And it's continued to outshoot the West. It's shut down the Western Black Sea. Any ships coming in to Ukraine are just getting smacked and whacked. And it doesn't give a damn who's coming in. And it's taking out Odessa, it's taking out every single port up and down the Black Sea, and it's taking out all the ports up and down the Danube. Not that many of them, but it's done it. Ukraine is now paralyzed. It can't get the grain out, and can't get the heavy weapons in like it used to. Because they get them in the port and started spreading them out to the places up and down the front. Or, you know, when they sold weapons, like American 777 howitzers, they just send it off that way. Straight up Odessa, and underneath all that grain, you're shipping off howitzers and other equipment. Guess that doesn't work anymore, because those ships are either burning or nobody's coming. Maersk, as a matter of fact, said enough. Ain't a single ship from Maersk ever coming into Ukraine while this is going on. So in other words, because Odessa is going to be, by the end of all this, Odessa, Nikolaev, and all that, is going to be part of Russia, I guess no ship from Maersk is ever coming into Ukraine again. Unless it learns how to drive down rails from Poland. From former Western Ukraine, it'll soon be Eastern Poland. So there's that. Whoops. Apparently, Russia can escalate faster and harder. And thankfully, finally, something we should have done much earlier, we've closed down Ukraine's little trade there. You know, the same reason, by the way, the grain corridor was shut down before. Fully shut down. Was because Ukraine was launching drone strikes out of the grain corridor. Because ships were passing up and down the grain corridor, freighters, and dropping off drones to strike at Russian ships. Because you cannot trust these people. These people are just like their masters in Washington. They lie as they breathe. As long as their heart beats, they're lying. And we've seen this multiple times with Obama. We've seen this with Biden. And we're now seeing this with Trump. And with Trump, we're also seeing what? Besides he's lying, besides he's, you know, he's not agreement capable. You got Rubio, who's full of crap. We've had a talk, and we shouldn't, two nuclear powers shouldn't be at each other. And the next day, they start strikes even harder, deeper into Russia, at economic targets. Okay, we can now do this. So that's the situation. Ukraine's Western trade has now been shut the hell down. That's right, it's shut down. Like it or not, but that's the life you're gonna live. And by the time it comes back up, trade in that area, Odessa will be Russian. They're now looking at they're voicing. Let's move it all down to Port Cronsta, Romania. This is the port that by the way. Zelensky tried to murder the population of when he tried to explode the oil storage facility and the fertilizer storage facility with four drones that went missing. But for some reason, Ukraine could have detonated them at any time they wanted to. Yeah. The spillway buoys were the only things that saved Port Constant from a genocide. By the mad nut job Mossad CIA MI6 asset called Zelensky. And speaking of which, the Israelis are so far, well, I don't know if they're up Zelensky's ass or he's up their ass. But Mossad is neck deep in Ukraine since 2014. I know it's a shock, really. So we're now watching World War III as a front expand because Zelensky has gone and attacked Iranian shipping. In the Caspian Sea, of course, by his American masters. He won't do anything as American. It's not like, oh, Zelensky once woke up. He's got not enough anything to hit Russia hard enough with unless you're killing civilians. But he suddenly decides to take out ships in the Caspian, which you can't see, you know, without American targeting information. So, of course, he's doing it for the Yanks. and he's going to get slammed for the Yanks. The Iranians already said, we're going to pay you back. The Americans already said, we're going to pay you back. We're not going to pay you back. You can count on they're going to pay you back. So what are we looking at? There's different things they can do. Some of the longest range Iranian missiles, they can reach out and they can actually touch Odessa. So we may see that from Iran. We may see Iran asking Russia to use Russian territory launch missiles. We see that. In that case, even Kyiv is not off of the list of what Iran can do. What else can we do? Oh, I know. Since this is a war, and Ukraine is now part of that war, as America's little puppet, and Ukraine's now attacked Iran on this war. Iran has 1 million men under arms right now. They can easily flex it up to 2 to 3 million. But you know what the Iranians don't have? They don't have combat experience. Guess where they may be getting combat experience? You toss up 100,000 Iranians on the front lines, maybe 200,000. They get some really fast combat experience exterminating NATO's proxy. You know, the French, the British, the Poles, the Romanians. All fighting as mercenaries for the Ukrainians. Oh, and a lot, plenty of Ukrainians more will get exterminated, except this time by the Iranian army, not just the Russian army. So now we see a front line that could be very quickly extending from Ukraine down into the Persian Gulf. There's one solid front line. Where will Georgia go? Georgia's got a huge spoof of or spike in Russophobia. Ever since Rubio showed up about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, had a little talk with the Georgian Dream boys that all want to be loved by the West again, like Assyria got loved by the West. You know, that worked out really good for Assad. So the Georgians want to repeat. So now that they're pissing all over, they've released the Russophobes, they're pissing all over Russian tourists. But here's a little problem. You walk into a Georgian store and 50% of products are Russian. Oh, you look at the Russian gas, you look at the Russian gasoline, you look at the Russian oil coming in, you look at the fact that most of the bread in Georgia is baked off of Russian wheat, you look at the fact that more than half the tourists, that, and that's a huge chunk of the Georgian market, or Georgian GDP, is Russians. You look at the fact that Georgia has earned a lot of money from trade between Russia and Turkey going through Georgia. And you quickly figure out that piss on the Russians some more, Georgians, and watch your economy collapse. A, Georgian Dream goes flying out in a revolt of the people. Saakashvili's people come in, and Georgia launches a war against Russia and gets exterminated. Because when your population is 3 million, of which only about 1.7 million are actually ethnic Georgians, when you're flooded by Turks, Arabs, and now Indians and Pakistanis, by huge margins. It's shocking how fast in the last 3 years they've gotten flooded. Starting a war with Russia, who at this point doesn't have time to screw around with anybody, was probably going to lead to most of the Georgians that are still Georgians and ethnically Georgian and alive living in Russia, or maybe somewhere in the U.S. But probably living in Russia. I mean, Georgia as it is, at the rate it's going in the next 5 to 10 years is going to be a Georgian minority country, their homeland. It's shocking how quickly, about, you know, when you got 1.7 million, maybe 2 million tops of Georgians, and the 3 million in a country's population, 3 million. Turks flooding over, bringing huge families over. A lot of them got automatic citizenship from Saakashvili. And I'm telling you, they've got over 500,000 Indians and Pakistanis in 3 years for a population of 3 million people. Think about that. What kind of an increase and disbalance, and it's not stopping. The flood is still going. So very quickly, the Georgians are going to become the absolute minority in their own country. So either way, you know, what they don't seem to understand is Moscow, if it's the Georgians there or the Turks there or the Indians there. Russia will sign a contract and trade with them just as much easier than with the Georgians if the Georgians want to get piffy and the Russophobic. I mean, to the point of, there's a video of this guy, he hears people speaking Russian in a hotel in Georgia, bangs on the door, this girl opens up, who turned out to be, by the way, Ukrainian, who lives in Russia and came down to see some of her Ukrainian friends in Georgia. And he starts arguing with her, cursing her out in English, by the way, of course. She tries to push him out, and he punches her in the face, breaks her nose. He gets arrested, released on for pennies, and there's a crowd of Georgians that forms up and demands his release. And apparently, this is the second time he's done it. And what makes it even worse is this little turd also, by the way, has Russian citizenship. So if he ever comes up to Russia, we will personally show him a few things about matters. A little twat knocker. You can see the video here of what he represents, what this little man represents. Better never come up to Russia. But interesting that you keep dual citizenship like that. Because you're famous now, buddy. And every Russian around is going to be aiming for you when you get back, coming up to Russia. So Russia's closed to you. Just think about it that way. Because nobody forgets that. And the fact that most Georgians aren't beating the crap out of them says all there is to need to know about Georgian men these days. That you allow a little twat like that to beat on women. Because look at him, he's a short little bastard. And he can't do anything else but beat on women. And you have no problem with that? That says everything that needs to be said about the average Georgian male these days. Congratulations, you're a Soros twat. You don't like what I say? Fine, I don't give a damn. It's the truth, it's the hard truth, because if it wasn't the truth, this guy would have been beaten the crap out of by Georgians who love to brag about how they accept guests and how great a host they are. Well, your guests in your country are being treated like crap. And beaten, he beat a woman. This little crap man beat a woman, and you're all cool with that. Well, that's all I got to say for that. I got nothing else to say for that. And you call yourself men.
You in my room!
You in my country, you motherfucker!
You in my room!
You in my country, motherfucker! My brother's wedding, you motherfucker!
Pathetic. And by the way, yeah, I'm 1/16th Georgian. Yeah, I know, it sucks for you. So I do have Georgian blood in me. So do my kids. And from my wife's side, too. I don't teach my kids to be like that, to act like that. I teach them how properly to act. So there, congratulations. Congratulations. Why don't you go spit on the icons too while you're at it? Half of you probably would by now because you've been so Soros indoctrinated and Israeli indoctrinated. Okay, I'm off my little soap dish. Anyways, that's the situation we're facing there, folks. The line is expanding. The boundary is expanding, or the boundary, the front line between these different countries, forming into a solid front. We've got Sahel that is still fighting between Niger and Mali against the Western-backed Islamic jihadists. So we're looking at the front lines that are expanding and maybe continue to expand. You know, this is how World War II started. It started with a bunch of separate conflicts that all grew in together into one big conflict. There were a lot of conflicts if you look at from like 1936, 1935 onward until officially World War II started in 1939. We're looking at the same thing. So, additionally, but again, you know, Trump has declared war on BRICS. That it's going to be the U.S. dollar or he'll murder the world. Well, you know, he'll try anyways. He'll really just murder the U.S. even faster. Because you're not going to stop BRICS. And the U.S. ain't got the whereabouts to do anything about it. It can try, but it doesn't have rare earth magnets. It doesn't have the manufacturer base it needs to be able to produce weapon systems. Quality weapon systems, they're not quality weapon systems. We've seen that the Patriot against ballistic missiles is an absolute failure, a very expensive failure. Against hypersonics, the U.S. has nothing. It doesn't even have hypersonics. So this is the situation we're looking at right now. How long can this conflict go? I don't know. But it's definitely expanding out into a full frontal assault by Trump against BRICS, which means that there is not going to be, the U.S. is cutting itself out of most world trade, except for dominating the Europeans, which are basically junk economies collapsing as we speak. I mean, for God's sakes, major companies in Germany are running out of Germany in every single direction. If they can't go to Russia, they go to China to get cheap steel, cheap oil, gas from Russia in China, and cheap Chinese labor, which is not that cheap anymore, but still cheaper than Germany. In every direction, we see the same things happening. It's just total collapse running across the board. And then, just for a little cherry on top of the cake, I mean, how bloody friggin' stupid has the Western morons in the military-industrial complex have to be to go to a Ukrainian drone expo southwest of Kyiv, one that's registered online, not even secret, and that's been posted all over the place. I mean, seriously, at this point, the stupidity is outstanding. I half expected that it was Russian Special Services that did this, but no, it was actually Ukrainians. What the locals are saying is over 300 injured, not 100, over 300 injured, and a couple dozen dead. And those dead include key Ukrainian operators and designers of drones, Polish military-industrial complex people, at least a couple of EU and NATO officials. I mean, they had a pretty good groupie list there. Let's see. Well, we see all the top technology. Wait, there's one country missing here. Which country? Oh, it's Russia. And here comes Russia's answer. You know, ka-ba-boom, ba-boom, boom, boom. Three Iskander missiles smacking into them and sending them to Saint Bandera and rotten hell. I mean, you know, the West is trying to downplay this as much as they can because, well, they're screwed. I mean, but, you know, this is a repeat. 2 years ago, Ukrainians in Zaporozhye, I believe it was in Zaporozhye, they organized a conference for drone designers. And they got an Iskander missile right up the wahoo. So there you go there, folks. Stupid. It hurts, usually deadly hurts, and some people, they don't learn from stupid. They don't learn from other people's stupid mistakes. They have to repeat it themselves and go kaboom. So I will end on that. God bless, fight the good fight, and stand up to the Satanists that are running your countries if you're in the West, before it's too late. Cheers.